What is going on, people of the interwebs? Welcome to Season 2, Episode 10, otherwise known as Episode number 35 of the Reverent Babble Podcast. This is Cody Kelly.
Hey, 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 it's Neil Huntley. What's up?
And thank you, Neil, so much for putting your hands right in front of my face just to let me know what, you know, like what season we were on and numbers we were on. So
that's
thank you,
right.
Man.
We're getting days closer to MLB regular season. You know,
yes.
So I figured it was be appropriate for me to give you like catcher signs.
By catcher
so
signs on the date, yeah.
I'll slap my leg and tell you to go ahead and hit the hitter and all that, and I'll have to hold him back for the fight and everything like that.
Okay.
But yeah. So yeah, I'm getting in the baseball mood, Cody. Aren't you proud of me?
I'm actually very proud of you. Man, for sure. That means a lot to me, for sure. But I think it's ironic because I don't really have any baseball news to talk about in sports this week. You know, but that time's obviously getting near, and I really do appreciate you, you know, getting in the baseball mood for me.
Yeah.
So thank you.
And I have to mention something real quick because I'm getting a really good kick out of this. So for y'all that don't know, Cody's dog Smalls hangs out with us in the studio while we record. Sometimes you hear him. Sometimes you can hear us kind of get like, you know, or Cody mostly get agitated with him if he's,
yeah,
you know, nibbling at Cody's fingers or he's trying to jump on me. But for the past, let's see, how long, a minute and 50-something seconds that we've been talking, Smalls has been trying to jump up to the little banister at the window to look out, and he's been like one of those video game characters that you just try to walk into the wall and it just bounces back, and you try again and bounce back,
uh-huh,
and it's just not working. And finally, I think after trying number 57, he got up there. So congratulations.
Yes, he did. Yay, Smalls, yay. And he doesn't care.
No, he doesn't care. Not one bit. So yeah, he might bark in just a little bit just to get on Cody's nerves, but we'll see.
Yeah, probably.
So Cody,
it's all right, man.
What's new with you, dude?
Well, let's see. I watched a lot of March Madness this past weekend,
yes,
obviously, because that started last Thursday, was it?
Thursday night.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, Thursday night, but the first four, and then obviously the big national tournament started on Friday, ended Monday for at least the first two rounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that was obviously a lot of fun to watch. Got to see a lot of upsets that we'll talk about when we get to the weekly score and all that kind of stuff. You know, but I really had a lot of fun watching some college basketball, you know, like, because I really missed having March Madness last year, obviously,
dude,
because of COVID. So,
yeah,
you know, so being able to come back and not only watch March Madness, but just see how this year's has unfolded. It's definitely been pretty crazy to watch, but it's definitely been pretty awesome to watch too. Like, I think there's a line in Star Wars where Palpatine says, "A surprise for sure, but a welcome one."
Yeah, uh-huh.
a surprise to be sure,
right,
but a welcome one.
I think you're right on that one. Absolutely. And
I think that's what the line says.
Parrish will be very happy about the Star Wars reference within the first 5 minutes of the show.
Yes, he will. Absolutely, man, for sure.
Absolutely.
Shout out to you, Parrish, for sure.
Yes, but
us nerds got to stick together.
Although it's very tempting to go ahead and talk about college basketball just because it was so great, you know, I'm trying my best to hold back and save it.
Yes,
for,
I am
save
too.
For the weekly score. I will say that it being Tuesday and come Thursday when this is on the airwaves, I'm going through withdrawals right now from college basketball.
Right.
But
yeah. Same.
Because the reason why I am, we'll talk about it in about what, 20 minutes or so. But
yeah.
You hear me over here itching. It's not Smalls. It's me having withdrawals from.
Okay.
March
yeah.
Madness.
And I obviously, like you said, like that was obviously a lot of fun to watch, and we'll obviously talk about that whenever it's time for the weekly score. But other than that, I got to work behind the scenes in the cameras again at the lift. I haven't done that for a few weeks because, you know, it's usually every other week for me, but then I was last week, so I couldn't do it then. But I was able to do it this past Sunday, and it was, you know, and it was obviously pretty fun. I really enjoyed it, you know, why? Because I'm pretty sure every time I've done it, I've done at least a somewhat different job, because like the last time I did it, I did camera two, which is a main camera, but you kind of push in and pull out. You kind of do that for the shots. But I was on camera one this week. Camera one is basically you're just focused on the main person. So like, you know, whenever the worship team is like up there singing, like,
so you're on the lead singer.
I'm on the lead
you're
singer.
You're on the guy doing prayers and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
You're on whoever's center stage.
I'm focused on whoever's on center stage, whether it's the lead singer or the preacher, whenever he comes out and does his thing, you know. So that was obviously a very interesting and new, you know, because like when you're farther out, there's a little bit more room for error, because if someone moves a couple steps, like if the preacher moves a couple steps to the left or right, you're kind of good. You don't really have to move the camera.
Yeah.
You know, but like since I'm on camera one, I'm zoomed in. Like basically my room is basically from just a few inches over the top of their head to like their waist. Mm-hmm. So like whenever they even move like one step, I got to like move the camera ever so slightly so they're still in frame. So, you know, that was obviously a little bit, you know, difficult trying to get used to at first, you know, but once you kind of watch it for a little while, you kind of get a feel for how they're going to move at maybe certain times. So maybe you can kind of get a little bit of a handle on it, you know, but that was obviously pretty cool just to kind of learn more about that kind of stuff, do more of that. That was obviously a lot of fun. I got to obviously come to youth that night at Midway. That was obviously a lot of fun. I really enjoyed getting to learn about your, tree that had a lot of water in it.
Yeah. Had a little too much water in it.
Yeah, for sure. Had a little too much water in that tree, but you know, that was obviously a lot of fun. So I enjoyed that, but yeah, man. But overall, I just had a really good week, man. I enjoyed it.
Well, that's a good thing. You said it's the lift, right?
Yes.
I called it the loft.
Oh, that's fine.
You didn't even try to correct me. You're so polite. The loft, that's like, I'm pretty sure that's like a clothing store. I'm so sorry.
Oh.
You don't run the cameras at a clothing store. You run the cameras at a church.
It's so, all good, dude.
Please forgive me.
Nah, man. It's all good.
But that's good that you've done something different about almost every time you've been there.
Right.
Because you're learning. That's the whole point of the beginning of a job, you know, since, whether it's full-time or temporary, kind of like this one is, till you go to North Greenville in the fall. But, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to do something different for a good while every time you're there to learn, because you're there to learn, because you're, you know, you're interested in that side of things.
Oh, yeah,
you're interested not only in audio stuff like this, but the visual stuff and the editing and all that stuff. And, you know, it's good. They're trusting you to be willing to learn. They're trusting you to ask questions if needed, and they obviously trust you enough to be on camera one. So that's
I know.
So y'all, while you're learning, you're also gaining trust and making progress. So that's really cool to see, buddy.
Well, thank you, man. That really does mean a lot to hear, you know, encouraging words like that for sure, and just to kind of see the progression into kind of what I'm trying to learn right now. So
absolutely.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. So, with that being said, what's new with you?
Well, we had a very interesting start to our weekend. You know, we talked about how the first four in college March Madness started on Thursday night. Well, along with that, a stomach bug started at my house.
Oh, no.
Thursday night. I'm not going to go into any details, okay? Just, that's unnecessary. And,
yeah,
you know, we're a clean Christian family podcast, okay?
Yes.
So we're not going to get to, you know, explicit details, you can call that explicit, because it can be sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But we survived.
Especially when it comes to that, for sure.
We survived. Luckily, it was just me and Amber that had it. We had it at the same time, which I saw as a blessing in disguise.
Yes.
You know? And thankfully, and I put this on Facebook and stuff too, I'm so thankful that we live within driving distance of both my parents and Amber's parents, because that night mom came up and looked after Graham while we were trying to, you know, do our best to to get better. And as soon as he woke up Friday morning, she took him on down to Wadesboro, which was normal Friday plan for him anyway. And while we continued to get better, and just so we could get a good night's rest Friday, he spent the night. It was his first sleepover at Nanny and Pa's house.
Nice.
Just, you know, unfortunate circumstances. It was because mom and dad had a stomach bug.
Right.
But he had a great time down there, and we got a full night's rest. Woke up feeling like brand new people on Saturday. So
that's great,
man. We're all good. And on top of that, Saturday, we got our new furniture in the house. So it's really cool to have a reclining sofa to sit back and watch some college basketball.
Oh, yeah, man. Absolutely.
So,
that's cool.
You know, it was a very eventful 24 hours for a little bit.
I bet.
That's about the best way I can describe having a stomach bug is eventful.
Yeah.
But we made it through. We powered through. And, now we're sitting here. So, we're good. So, we've gone from a span of, you know, I think I might have COVID. No, I don't have COVID. I just have really bad allergies. To now, I'm talking about another sickness. So, maybe, hopefully next Tuesday, I won't say, well, I battled a sickness over the weekend.
Yeah.
But, you know, who knows? We never know, you know, what's going to come in the next 5 or 10 minutes or 10 days. So,
that's true.
But hopefully, there's nothing along those lines.
Yes, for sure. I was about to say, like, whenever the next episode comes out, or whenever we come to, you know, do the recording for the next episode, we won't be talking about someone being sick.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, exactly. But before we go into the break and into the Devo, I just wanted to let it be known and make it this public.
Okay.
We have gone 12 minutes, Cody.
Yeah.
Do you know what we hadn't talked about in 12 minutes?
Nope.
We hadn't talked about the weather.
Well, I said nope because I didn't want to say the word because I knew you'd be making fun of me.
I'm sorry. I didn't read into it. No, I was talking about myself too. Beautiful day outside. It's a little chilly. Yes. Beautiful day, and that's your weather.
Yes.
Let's go to the Devo.
Let's do it. All right, and we're back. Welcome to this week's Double Play Devo. And for this week's Devo, it's going to be a little bit different than our usual double plays.
Yeah, and to keep the baseball little theme of this, we're going to throw a little curveball today.
Okay.
It's not really lesson-based. There's not a theme to it. Well, I guess you can say there's a theme to it, but, you know, as I was thinking of a topic to talk about, I just could not nail it down to one thing. And I think it's really because my mind's kind of been racing on all the stuff we're talking about on Wednesday nights.
Right.
I mean, we talked about abortion last Wednesday night, which is a pretty tough topic to talk about.
Yes.
You know? This week we'll talk about progressive Christianity, which is really wild.
Yeah.
And really you have to kind of be careful about, you know, making sure that you separate what's not right
and what's right
in the eyes of God and what's right in Scripture. And so I think, you know, that's one reason why I couldn't. And I think, honestly, it's just time that we just kind of do a mental check on each other, Cody.
Yeah, man, that sounds cool.
And I want to do this just kind of encourage people that are listening to help do mental check, checkpoints or mental pit stops, if you want to do a NASCAR little pun to it.
Yeah.
On with your buddies, with your friends, and just see how everybody's doing, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a very rhetorical question or just a way of greeting when you say, hey man, what's up, or hey, how are you, you know?
Uh-huh.
And you just say I'm good and you just keep talking about whatever, you know?
Right.
But seriously, you know, we need to take time to check on people. Hey,
oh yeah,
how are you, you know? And I think part of it came from seeing about the stuff's going on in Colorado, you know, with that shooting at that supermarket. I don't know the full details. I know there's not even the people in Colorado in that area, they don't know the full details yet. I know that a good handful of people passed away, including an officer. And, you know, those people, they won't get to have those kind of conversations anymore because they're gone, you know?
Right.
Their time on earth has passed. And, you know, where they could have had a good, solid conversation with somebody, that time has passed. So I just want to try to make an effort to, you know, not waste any chances to just have a good, solid, hey, how are you conversation, you know?
Right.
So I just figured it'd be something good along those lines. And, you know, I just like to check in on my buddies every now and then and see how God's working in their life. So
okay.
I ask you, Cody, how are you, dude? Seriously.
I am, you know, like, I'm all right. I mean, like, to answer your question, honestly, you know, in-depthly, like, you know, like, I would say compared to how I am to compare to I feel like how I should be, I don't think I would say I'm great. But, you know, like, overall wise, I'd say I'm doing pretty good. You know, well, like, obviously the last couple weeks have kind of been interesting, you know, because like I said, I wasn't really feeling that great last week, and I kind of hinted at it last week. And, you know, like, all right, you know what, I'm gonna actually kind of explain a little bit about what it is, just so everyone's not completely confused. You know, so what happens every once in a while is that my muscles in my legs will just get really tight, or it'll just get really sore. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that happens to the point, like I say, this happens kind of randomly, usually like once a quarter out of the year. We can maybe narrow it down, but even then it's still kind of random. And sometimes it just kind of gets to a point where I can't walk. I mean, like, I literally can't hold myself up. I can't walk. And usually that'll last like 2-3 days.
Oh, wow.
I mean, like, I could walk, I guess, but I couldn't. I was basically walking on peg legs. You know, it's like I couldn't bend my legs. I can't walk normally. I can't, like, interact and do stuff like I normally can do. You know, it just feels like I'm walking on peg legs over here. You know, so, I can't function the way I can normally function. And, you know, when that happens, you know, like I said, it usually only lasts 2-3 days. And when it happened last week, it lasted maybe a couple of days longer than I thought it would, you know, so obviously that got me a little bit worried, you know, obviously for a bit, you know, but, you know, and that's obviously for several reasons, you know, but obviously the main reason was, you know, thinking about, you know, like, obviously how I'm going to function, but how I'm going to function out of college, you know, like, when I'm not at home with my parents and stuff like that, you know, and that was obviously something that, you know, was on my mind last week and, you know, during that whole process. I mean, like, you know, just to let everyone know, I'm feeling a lot better now. Like, I was feeling a lot better in the podcast last week. It was just that previous weekend was kind of, you know, nuts, you know, just kind of based off that, you know. And when that happened, it kind of, that was really the main inspiration behind my Double Play Devo last week, you know, all the different purposes of why we go through what we go through. And I had to remind myself of that. And, you know, and just having that in mind, it really kind of gave me a different perspective on that, you know. And it's like, obviously, I'm sure you can relate this to too. You know, both of us have been to church essentially our whole lives.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we've grown up in the church and we've heard that before, you know. But when you actually go through an experience and you're just not sure how it's going to turn out, mm-hmm. or why it's happening or whatever, hearing that again kind of puts a little bit of a bigger perspective on it than you may have heard it previously.
Yeah.
You know, so that was obviously a big deal for me. I mean, but like, as far as how I am now, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling a lot better than I am last week. I'm, you know, like, I obviously still don't understand what's going on. And here in the next few months, we're going to maybe, like, you know, pay some visits to doctors, maybe mm-hmm. see if we can maybe find some, you know, like, pinpoint something.
Sure.
I don't obviously know what's going to happen as a result of that. I mean, but I just kind of wanted to bring that up just to, one, kind of break the awkwardness that that subject was. I didn't want anyone to think, you know, it was anything, like, you know, like, terrible or bad or anything.
Right.
Because it's not a permanent thing. I just kind of wanted to, you know, just to kind of bring that up, just to kind of take that off my plate. And, you know, and this is something that you're hearing for the first time, too, mm-hmm. and I didn't mean for it to come across like that. I just felt like, you know, since you brought this kind of topic up, I figured this would be a good time to kind of talk about that. But, you know, like I said, overall, I'm feeling a lot better. I'm kind of having that new perspective, and talking to other people about it is definitely really big. Like, you know, like, even talking to you about it now kind of makes me feel a lot mm-hmm. more comfortable about that. You know, kind of, you know, like you said, kind of gives that little mental check.
So. Yeah, and I'm sure it's painful. Yeah, whatever it is. It's, you know, I guess it has some pain to it and mm-hmm. some cramping to it and all kind of stuff. And not only is it painful physically, it probably messes up, you know, messes with your head, like, well, what the heck's going on? You know?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Why is this happening? And maybe, just maybe, if you're able to, you know, get some tests run, that might be just as aggravating, you know, but at least you'll be on track to find an answer as to what it is. And maybe they can give you some ideas on what to do when you start feeling it, you know?
Right.
And maybe it won't go, maybe it might not just go away, but you can, maybe they'll give you some advice and some pointers on how to, I guess,
like, maybe for it to not be as,
have a little bit more control,
have
of
a little
it.
More control
yeah,
of it,
like, that's,
maybe
that's
not be as bad
for.
Or something like that, right?
Yeah, so
yeah, man.
I mean, and that's one of those things that, you know, I really don't care much for going to doctors. You know, I go
no,
unless
well, I'm definitely not a big person. You know, I'm just not a fan of going to the doctors. You know, but
yeah,
you know.
But you know, they're there for reasons like that.
Oh yeah.
You know, they're there to give you advice. They're there to finally give you an answer. And sometimes having an answer is the biggest, you know, the biggest relief that there is. At least you know what it is, you know?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like, when my mom found out she had lupus, you know, she didn't understand why, you know, sometimes she would have, you know, really red spots on her face, or when there'd be some days where she just, you know, felt like she got hit by a train, you know? But once she got an answer onto what it was, she knew the reason behind feeling bad sometimes. Or she knew the reason why, you know, she might not can do the same things that she used to. You know, it's not a crippling disease by any means. It's just an autoimmune thing. And mm-hmm. now that she knows what it is, she knows how to kind of have some control over it, you know?
Right.
And to kind of take some measures and precautions. That way, the symptoms that were really bad before she knew what it was are not as bad now, you know?
Uh-huh.
So.
For sure, man. Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, so, yeah, that was me, basically. Yeah, man, so that's me. So, how about you?
Yeah, well,
how's it going with you?
You know, it's
how are you?
It's habit to say, oh, it's going great, you know?
Right.
And to be honest with you, it's going pretty good, you know?
That's
and,
good, man.
And pretty good's right up under, I think, great, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, minus the stomach bug and stuff, that, you know, that always takes a toll on you physically and mentally because it's aggravating. And then you feel like, you know, a big old, you know, wet bag of hair, you know, just for a couple of days, or a bag of wet hair, not a wet bag of hair, a bag of wet hair. Yeah. Either way, it's, you feel useless. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, you talked about how your Double Play Devo last week kind of was inspired by the stuff you were going through. Well, you know, we talked about, you talked about the tree thing on Sunday, and we, you know, right. You remember that was kind of this visual aid for the lesson on confidence, right?
Right.
And for y'all that obviously weren't in youth, if you're not a member of the YAM students at church, I had, especially where we live, we had these little spruce pine trees that just pop up from where, you know, seeds get, you know, thrown in the wind, birds eat them, and then, you know, they digest them, you know?
Yes.
And then that's the seed and fertilizer right there, you know? And nice. Then, and so the tree will grow. And so I got these little baby spruce trees just all over the yard, you know, where I'll either just run them over when I'm mowing, or I'll dig them up, throw them in the woods and whatnot. But I was thinking, you know, this would be a really good example and a really good way to get two baby spruces out of my yard to use this in the lesson. So what I did was I got one baby spruce and dug it out about 3:30 Sunday afternoon and laid it out on the concrete driveway where the sunshine would be. And then about 5:15, 5:30, I dug another one out and put it in the clear, I think it's a Charles Chips old glass container of just water and some dirt and put it in there. So it went straight from the ground to, you know, basically a simulation of the ground. And in the lesson, I talked about how when we put our confidence in just ourselves, and we're just depending on ourselves to give our, you know, to kind of boost ourselves, to kind of keep ourselves going, that we're just as, you know, useful as a tree out of the ground. You know, that tree, when you dig it out of the ground, it's going to depend on itself for nutrition.
Right.
It's going to depend on itself for survival. And as y'all saw in the lesson, and as y'all saw Sunday night, you know, where that tree had been out of the ground for a couple of hours, right. It was already turning brittle because it could not sustain itself, right?
Right.
You know, the dirt on the roots was already dry and dusty. I made a mess in the in the youth room because of it. And, you know, it was already turning, well, I kept saying crispy, you know?
Yeah.
It was already turning crispy. But the one in the Charles Chips container, it was doing great. You know,
yeah.
Now, and I said, you know, kind of, you know, newsflash, a spruce pine tree is not going to flourish in a glass container,
yeah,
but for the sake of the lesson, you knew what I was saying, but
oh yeah,
that one was depending on the nourishment of that soil that was in there, the water, a lot of water that was in there,
yeah.
But it didn't have to rely on itself. It was relying on what was around. And in our lives, that's us relying on God. You know,
right.
Because God puts us in places that we are designed to be, whether that's, you know, in this church, working in this church, or whether it's, you know, working this job somewhere else, or living in this place, you know, or being with this one person as a husband or wife, or being friends with this person. Where you are is where you're supposed to be. You know, and there's some times where that kind of can be a gray area where, you know, where we're trying to live outside of God's will, but ultimately we'll be somewhere where God planned for us to be. Okay.
Right.
And just like that tree was planned to be where I dug it out, you know, kind of what took it away from where it was supposed to be. But, it was designed to be there and had the nourishment right there for rely on.
Right.
So when we have our confidence in God, we're relying on Him for that love, for that grace and all that. And that approval, we're only seeking that approval from God when our confidence is in God and not in ourself.
Right.
And so be honest with you, the past few months, sir, I've been struggling a lot with my own confidence, you know, just kind of feeling comfortable about just being me, you know?
Right.
And I mean, I haven't like been doing anything harmful or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
But just, you know, it's just been, I've been in a very foggy mindset, like,
right,
where sometimes I just feel like I don't belong places, you know, when I know I do, you know. And I was trying to seek approval from things that weren't going to give me approval, you know, and nothing like I said, nothing harmful by any means, but it was things like, I mean, when you bend over backwards to seek approval from another human being, eventually, as long along the road somewhere, you're going to get your feelings hurt, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Now, you still may have good times with that person, but you're still going to get your feelings hurt because they're a human being. They're going to mess up too, you know?
Right.
But I had to learn to put my full confidence in God. And when I put my full confidence in God, I can spread love to others around me, and I can feel that I'm receiving love back from others, you know? Because we're there working together instead of trying to, you know, seek approval from each other. So when I finally decided to do that this week, I've had a really good piece about myself, you know, and yeah. I'm not just trying to boost myself up by any means, but I've had a better piece about
I understand what you're saying,
going
for sure.
through my day-to-day walk with the Lord. And, you know, I just, as part of my routine in the morning, when I pray, it's just, I pray now, help me just find and keep my confidence in you, God, you know, nothing else. Now, don't seek approval towards anything or anyone else but you, okay? And doing that has really helped me. Now, we're only 2 days in to something a little new, but I hopefully will keep that going.
Oh, yeah.
Know? But just, I just feel more light on my feet, you know?
Right.
I feel like that I'm not having to, you know, peek around corners before I try something new. That I'm not, you know, getting impatient about what's next in my personal walk with Christ.
You don't have to feel like you have to constantly strive for a certain goal of approval for you know, like for a person or for a thing or for whatever.
Right.
You know, like that burdens off you, and that's for sure. And like the reason why I say it like that, you know, is because you're talking to the king of trying to find confidence in yourself. Because I mean, well, like obviously confidence is something that I'll admit, me personally, I mean, like I still struggle with to this day. I think everyone to a certain extent does. But I mean, for me, for a extremely long time, I was the most shyest person you would probably ever meet. And I wouldn't talk to people, and as a result of that, I just didn't feel confidence in myself when I was younger that I would be able to accomplish anything, because I was obviously, I mean, like I wasn't a confident person just because I didn't feel good about myself for several reasons. I mean, you know, like obviously some have passed, you know, but for me, like obviously, I mean, but you know, like for me, obviously with my talking, I mean, you maybe can't hear it as much on this podcast because I do a little bit of editing to make it sound a little nicer. But I mean, it's like even during this recording of this podcast, I mean, you see me having a hard time talking sometimes, and you know, that's always been something I've struggled with. And you know, and like since that's been going on for a long time for me, that's obviously hurt my confidence a little bit. And it wasn't until recently I kind of had to change my mindset and my focus, like you said, off of trying to find approval from people or things that, you know, would make me feel more confident about myself and not thinking about the starting as much. But when you focus on God and put your confidence in Him, that burden of trying to seek approval definitely is lifted for sure.
And you know, and looking back at it, I was just, there was, you know, nights where I was just like, what is wrong with me? You know, like I'm you know, because especially us guys, we're just expected to, you know, be confident just because we're men, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We're supposed to be leaders. We're supposed to know what to do. We're supposed to know how to change oil and you know, cut grass and all this stuff. We're supposed to know all this manly stuff. We're supposed to know how to go out there and kill a hog with our bare hands and skin it and have it for dinner in 2 hours. You know, we're supposed to know this stuff, you know.
Right.
But sometimes being expected to have that confidence, that can do a damage on your confidence. And it wasn't anybody that was hindering the confidence but me, because I had my confidence in the wrong places. You know, and I was just like, God, what's, you know, why can't I get out of this little rut that I feel in? Because there's just days, and you may have even seen it on me when I come in here, you know, just after a long day, where I just don't feel like doing much of anything, just because I'm
right.
Mentally I'm just done for the day. And finally, there was just one time I said, in my prayer time, I was like, God, I just feel like I'm stuck in a rut. Like, you know, I just feel like I'm in a ditch. I can't get out. I don't know what's going on. You know, I pray to you every day. I'm in the Word. James held me accountable with the, you know, the reading plans and stuff like that.
Right.
And starting a new devotion every night with Amber has been really good too. But I was like, I feel like I'm in a rut. I feel like I have no confidence. And God was, you know, of course, I didn't hear verbal audible voice, but you feel that, you know, sense inside of you. God was like, where are you getting your confidence from? And I was like, well, I take pride in doing good yard work. Okay, well, who allowed you to get that job? You did, God. Okay, well, I take pride in having an awesome family. Well, who gave you that family? You did, God. Well, I take pride about, you know, serving a church. Well, who allowed you to feel the call to church? You did, God. Okay,
right.
Well, I take pride in being the funny guy. You know, I like to throw out some funny, sometimes very lame jokes.
Well,
but you know, I like,
well, same here. I know about all about those lame jokes,
but I take pride in making people smile and making people laugh. Well, who gave you the ability to do that? You did, God. Okay. Well, why isn't your confidence in me? And I was like, okay, well, you're exactly right. you know.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not perfect by any means. There's still probably going to be days ahead where I feel like I'm in a mental rut, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But this little, you know, experience that I've had just with me personally, just between myself and God, nobody else, has been really eye-opening, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, okay, you're putting your confidence in all these things that God has given you, but you're not putting your full confidence in God. Even though you are a youth pastor, you know the truth. You know what the word says. You know, we still all have room to grow, and I found a place to grow this week, and it has been really encouraging to work on that room to grow.
I mean, well, it's like I just said a few minutes ago, dude. I mean, I completely understand what you're talking about when it comes to having confidence, and once you just find out where your confidence comes from, and obviously, you know, there will be days, like you said, where you feel like you're in that rut, but just knowing and having that thought that your confidence comes from God, and no matter what happens, you can still count on Him no matter what. That's obviously a very awesome feeling to have, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, basically just to close this diva, I mean, it's just what you want to call it, this discussion, check on your buddies and seriously ask them, how are you? And if they just say good, say, no, really, how are you? And you can do it over text. Like, every now and then I'll text James, like, hey, how's God been working in your life? We did that this morning, you know?
Oh, that's
just
cool.
As a little mental check from youth pastor, because we're supposed to check on others. A lot of people don't check on us sometimes, you know?
Right.
And so we do that. But, you know, have lunch with your buddies. You know, we just saw today that Roy Cooper in North Carolina's, you know, letting restaurants open even more capacity.
Yeah.
So take full advantage of that.
Yes.
Okay. Go out to eat. Enjoy that time with people that humans are designed to be with other humans and, you know, hang out and have a good time and honor God while you're doing that. So, but just every now and then, don't have to be every day, because don't aggravate them about it. But just every now and then, just, hey, man, how are you? How are you mentally? You know, because this is a crazy world we live in.
Absolutely.
You know, and it gets crazier by the day. It gets crazier by the minute if you refresh Twitter every now and then. But just check on your buddies. It'll be beneficial for both of you. All right, it is sports time. Time to update y'all on the week that was in the world of sports. This is
the weekly score.
Good job, Cody.
Yeah,
you
man.
You know, the weeks that we've been doing it together.
I'm knowing it.
That might have been the best one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably
cool
so.
Cool deal. So we don't have too much sports to talk about. I mean, we have plenty when it comes to, like, March Madness and things like that.
But
we don't have several different topics to talk about.
Right.
So we're going to start out talking NASCAR, and then we'll do a little bit of NBA, especially some sad news for me and Cody and our team. And then we'll finish up with, you know, with what everybody's talking about. And everybody, you know, we say we're in withdrawals from it, but it's after what a crazy weekend it was, it's good to take a little break from March Madness.
Yes.
Till next weekend. But we'll get to that as we close out the show. First, let's talk NASCAR, Cody.
All right, let's do it, man.
All right, so we had the race at Atlanta this past weekend.
Yes.
This is my summary of the Cup race at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Okay. Kyle Larson's in the lead. Hey, what y'all want to eat? Oh, y'all want a slow smoke of brisket? Oh, we got plenty of time. Yeah, it's 500 mile lap, or not a lap, 500 miles. It feels like 500 laps at the same time. Oh, Logano's blocking Larson. Yeah, he's in last place. He's the last one on the lead lap, but he's still going to block first place. Oh, here comes his teammate, Ryan Blaney. He's going to get out of the way. Oh, okay, Blaney wins. Okay, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah, you could have, you know, went to two dentist appointments. You could have sat in the waiting room twice at a doctor's office. You could have done your taxes. You could have waited on, you know, the last round of stimulus checks, and then it's still been stage two of this race. Man, that was brutal.
Oh,
okay.
Really?
I had it on the side. We had March Madness on, of course, on the big TV, but on the Google Home, I had the race on just to kind of keep up with it. And man, nothing really happened at all in the Cup race, you know.
Oh, really? Not too
much. Once
huh?
Once Larson got up front, he was the man for a good while, which we saw with the race at Vegas, that he dominates that style of race. The race in Atlanta should not be 500 miles. Should not. You should, the only long races you should have or Daytona 500.
Right.
You used to have the Coke 600, which is, you know, that's just the classic endurance race, 600 miles. That's ridiculous, you know. And then the Southern 500 down in Darlington. Those are the only ones. This race here in Atlanta, it shouldn't be over 350. Because there's no point unless they kind of figure out a way to reconfigure that track to where it's more entertaining. It's a very brutal 500-mile race to watch. The really interesting thing about Atlanta Motor Speedway is that it's one of the oldest paved tracks. Like, it hasn't been repaved in, like, 20, 25 years.
Oh, wow.
A little bit longer than that. You've obviously been to the beach down, like, Cherry Grove, North Myrtle.
Oh, yeah.
And so you know when you cross the state line.
Yes.
You can hear it and you can feel it in your car.
Oh yeah,
absolutely. It's like dropping off a 20-foot cliff.
It is.
You know, like, you're just riding real smooth, North Carolina. Ba bam! You're in South Carolina. You know, that's how you can tell you're in South Carolina.
Happens pretty much every single time I go, like every time I drive from North Carolina to South Carolina. It doesn't even matter where it is. Like, as soon as you cross that border, you know you're in South Carolina.
Yep, exactly.
Because of those roads.
And, you know, instead of repaving roads down there, they just put that little black tar in the little cracks. This is what Atlanta Motor Speedway looks like. There's just those black tars, and they sand it down and make it somewhat smooth. But just imagine driving on cheese graters for 500 miles, and you have the race at Atlanta. So the big thing was tire wear, you know, timing it out to where your tires were just right for the certain stages and certain scenarios. And that's what Larson took advantage of for the majority of the race. And then at the end, where he had burned up his tires near the end of the race and couldn't afford to, you know, go to the pits.
Why go to the pits and get new ones, right?
He already burned them up, and Blaney's tires were a little bit fresher. And Larson had a 10-second lead on second place.
10-second lead.
Then, like I said, another 3:30 start, so I didn't see the end of it live. There for a little bit, there was only 14 or 15 cars on the lead lap, just because it was a green flag race for the majority of the time. Everybody got spaced out. I mean, it was just not a very entertaining race on TV, at least. It could have been completely different in person. But, you know, Blaney just timed it out, had way better tires there for a second, and it kind of helped that his teammate was somewhat blocking the leader for a little bit. And so when he saw Blaney come, he said, "Oh, let me scoot out of the way real quick."
Yeah.
You know, because and in Joey Logano's defense, Larson wasn't right up on him trying to get around him. He wasn't it wasn't like on Talladega Nights when the guy's just like back and forth. It wasn't like that at all. He had a three car, you know, gap in between him and Larson, but he wasn't getting out of Larson's line. Larson had a certain line that he was taking around the track to stay faster than everybody.
But he was just determined he wasn't going
to. Yeah, Logano wasn't just going to get out of his line to let Larson by.
Right. Because
he also wanted to stay on the lead lap in case there was a wreck and all this stuff, and he could move up in position. Because,
oh, of course.
I mean, he's getting points too, and points matter, and especially in races like this.
Oh, yeah.
But it was just funny that conveniently he decided, oh, I'll get out of the
way. This is kind
of
convenient.
Now here's Ryan Blaney, you know?
Right.
But that's what you're supposed to do when you're teammates with a guy and you have no shot at winning, and then your teammate does, you help him out. Okay.
Right.
Even though it wasn't teammates, when I saw it at Bristol, it was still the same manufacturer, Fords and Fords. When Harvick and Kyle Busch were going for the win at Bristol last year at the night race, Logano saw that Kyle Busch had a lead, and Logano and Harvick both drive Fords. And so Logano blocked Kyle Busch, who drives Toyota, so Harvick could take the lead, and he ended up winning the race.
So Harvick could win, right?
So it's just funny little things.
I mean, not
like
Harvick,
that.
But yeah.
Yeah. So it's just funny little things like that. And that's really the only entertaining part of the race was he couldn't get around Logano, and then Logano got out of the way for Blaney, and then Blaney won. But that's, you know, six different winners in all these races.
Yes.
And the way it's going, Cody, we might have a guy that wins a race that doesn't get into playoffs because there's only 16 spots.
Oh,
we might have more than 16 winners at the rate this going. I mean, at the rate this going, we have a different winner every time.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, hey.
So we might have a handful of guys that don't get in even though they got a win. You know?
Yeah.
It just depends on points and things like that. I will say, though, as we're talking about NASCAR, Saturday was fun. The Xfinity race was very eventful. During the race and post race.
Very entertaining, I guess, to say the least.
Yeah, so if I should have had it queued up, a little sound effect of a wrestling bell, ding ding ding. You know, that's my summary of the Xfinity race. But, you know, we talked about Noah Gragson on here, what, a couple weeks ago when he got in that wreck with David Starr and all that. No, this time him and Daniel Hemric were going back and forth with each other.
Yeah.
Not only on the track, but on pit road, too.
On the pits, yeah.
And, you know, it looked really, really bad. You know, Gragson, it looked like he purposely backed up into Hemric's car. And to his defense, he was kind of cattywampus in his pit box because Hemric was cattywampus because the guy behind him was leaving when Hemric was trying to pull in. So he had to pull into Gragson's pit box and then back up. And Gragson was crooked too. But it was almost like Noah was like, well, I got to back up anyway. Let me just mess with this guy a little bit
right.
at the same time. You know? And so that happened. Some birds were flown, I'll say that.
Yes.
And then after the race.
And after the race.
They're interviewing Gragson, and Hemric comes up and shoves him. And then this was the most unathletic fight I've ever seen, ever, and when in a sporting event. I don't think there was one punch landed at all.
No, okay? Probably not.
We need if Dale Jr. is going to talk to his driver, who is Gragson, he needs to, you know, at least, you know, talk about his reach because that was pitiful. Which I can only imagine that your arms are probably pretty tired after doing this, holding the steering wheel for a good amount of time on the racetrack.
So. But well, it's safe to say that neither of them will make good fighters in the UFC.
Yeah, no. But you know what's crazy, Cody? The NASCAR came out and said there will not be a penalty for Hemric or Gragson for the pit box.
Really?
Instance. No penalties at all.
No penalties at all?
Because, I mean, it didn't look good. We can say that.
Uh-huh.
And for y'all that don't know what we're talking about, just go look it up on YouTube. It's really easy to find.
Oh, yeah.
But they can't prove either way. You know, they can't. Well, they can say, yeah, Gragson probably shouldn't have backed up like he did. But we can't prove that he did it on purpose because he also had to get in his pit box, you know?
Right.
So he kind of, you know, Gragson kind of got out of that
right.
one a little bit. But there should be some penalties in that fight, okay? There at least should be some fines and some suspensions because if you ask me, I saw it on Twitter, but I've agreed with this for a long time. NASCAR, they should have a rule just like NHL. If two guys are going to fight, let them go until one of them's on the ground and then break it up, okay?
Uh-huh.
Simple as that. You know, tensions are going to rise. These guys are locked in these really, really tight cars for two and a half plus hours, you know?
Oh, yeah.
They're hot. They're tired. They're going to get aggravated with each other, okay? I mean, I get aggravated going down 45. I can't imagine strapped in a car like that for 2.5 hours going 150 plus miles an hour and then trying to keep your cool at the same time.
Right.
So tensions are going to flare. They got to have an out, okay?
Oh, yeah.
But when the guy starts shoving, I don't like when the guy on the pit crew grabs the other guy. If you're going to
– right.
If you see your driver getting in a fight, grab your driver.
Right.
Don't grab the other guy.
Right. Well, like, I think it's funny that you bring that up because whenever there's, like, a benches clearing brawl in a baseball game, for example, I've known because I've watched a lot of baseball games, obviously, like, you always see one of the coaches go grab one of the other team's players. And I'm like, no,
that's going to make it worse.
Like, grab your own guy and try to get him away from the fight. Don't grab the other team's guy. Like, whenever I see that, I always thought that was kind of weird. So I think it's funny you brought up that point,
too. Yeah, because what happened was Hemric shoved Gragson. Gragson, which and this isn't very reverent of me saying, but if you're going to want to fight a guy, I wouldn't go up there and just grab him. If I wanted to hit him, I'd probably hit him, but I'm not the
right.
violent type. But I'm just saying, if Hemric wanted to hit him, just hit him. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Don't go there and grab him, give him a chance to hit you first. But he shoved him. He got shoved back. Gragson's, I think it was the gas guy, because the gas guy is the biggest guy on the pit crew,
yeah.
grabs Hemric, and then Gragson goes after Hemric while his other guy has him. That's kind of a cheap shot, you know?
Yeah.
So don't grab the other guy. That was just,
That was just a very weird thing to see in general.
Yeah, but, you know, Gragson's not helping himself at all.
No.
And, you know, the fans might like it, and it might be good for television ratings, but eventually team owners are going to get tired of it. Sponsors are going to get tired of it. Although Parrish sent me a link that showed the owner of Bass Pro Shops loves it, which I think is hilarious because that's who's on the hood of Gragson's car is Bass Pro Shops.
Right.
But, you know, Gragson, I think somebody needs to ask him, hey, man, how are you? You know, do a mental check on him because he's lashing out for some reason. And I know he's in really good equipment over there at this Dale Jr.'s motorsports team.
Right.
And so he's in really good equipment, and he's running at the top, but sometimes he just can't close it out. And maybe he's just feeling a little bit of pressure. I don't know.
I don't know.
But somebody check in on him. Maybe give him a race off just to chill out, you know, and also to show him that he's not the boss over there. But you know, this is very common occurrence with him, and it's been very common in the past couple weeks too.
Well, by a couple weeks too. So, it's been common here recently too, because remember back a couple episodes ago, we talked about something else that happened with Gregson too. So, you know, it's becoming a more frequent thing with him.
And he's got to learn to speak a little bit more reverently too, because in the second interview that he did, he kind of, you know, talked about, Hemrick's obviously frustrated and all this stuff, and, you know, just got to let it out sometimes. And then at the very end, he didn't say anything about it the whole time. At the very end, he got in a little cheap shot. Said, "Well, if I was him with that resume, I'd be aggravated too."
Aww.
He's got the Hall of Fame resume to be talking. But I mean, like little stuff like that. That's not necessary, you know.
Right.
Just say, you know, we're both aggravated. Long aggravating race. We got into each other's heads, and we had to, you know, have a little discussion and leave it at that. But you know, I like to see Gregson do good, because that kind of a character is really good for the sport, as long as you're not throwing out cheap shots and letting your pit guys hold the other driver so you can use him like a punching bag. But I digress on that.
There you go. All right, man. Let's talk some NBA basketball first. Let's talk some NBA. Like, I know March Madness is a big thing, and trust me, after this, we will get to that. But, you know, I figured we would save that for the end, because that was definitely a pretty crazy thing in itself, and we'll definitely take a lot of time talking about that. But first, I wanted to talk about the NBA for just a few minutes. I just kind of wanted to talk about the power rankings real quickly, and then we'll get into some Hornets news.
Okay.
All right, so 40 power rankings. The Brooklyn Nets are ranked number one for the third straight week at a record of 29-14, and they are 8-2 in their last 10 games.
And Blake Griffin dunked.
And yes, he did dunk, and those were his only 2 points in that game. I still think that's kind of funny, but Blake Griffin did dunk.
Yes, he did.
It was his first dunk in, like, what, 2 years?
Yeah.
Or something like that? You know,
The Pistons were like, "We've been duped."
Yeah.
We were tricked the whole time.
We've been bamboozled.
Yeah.
I mean, but, like, that was pretty cool to see Blake Griffin actually contribute. Even though he didn't do that much, he did contribute a little bit to Brooklyn. It was kind of funny seeing DeAndre Jordan's reaction to his dunk. He was, like, losing his mind.
Yep.
He was like, "Oh, wow, Blake Griffin can actually dunk again."
Yep, that was pretty funny, too.
You know, so that was obviously pretty cool to see, for sure.
And what number is Blake Griffin?
Two.
Yeah, that looks so weird.
I mean, well, like, it just looks weird seeing him wear a single-digit number two. It just looks weird with him.
And this just might be me remembering wrong. What number is Kyrie?
He's number 11.
11. Okay. Because he was 2.
Yes.
He was 2 in Cleveland. And he was 11 in Boston.
Yes.
And so he just moved. Okay. Uh-huh. So I'm not wrong in thinking that Irving did. He has worn 2 before.
Irving has worn 2 before, but that was when he played for Cleveland.
Okay. You're right.
When he was traded to Boston, he changed it to 11. And then when he went to Brooklyn, he has kept it.
As soon as you said 11, I saw it immediately on the jersey. But when I saw Blake wearing 2, I was like, I thought Kyrie wore 2.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Well, you're right and wrong at the same time. Because he did wear it at some point, not wearing it right now. But,
right.
You know, but it was weird seeing Blake Griffin wear 2, though, for sure.
All
right, so just kind of going down his power rankings a little bit. The Bucks are ranked number 2, which they were ranked number 6 last week, so that's a big increase for them. Mm-hmm. The ranked number 3 is the Philadelphia 76ers. Number 4 is the Suns. Number 5 is the Jazz, who are 5-5 in the last 10 games. So that's kind of a weird thing to see them play this way so far, you know, because really up until this point, they've been, like, on a roll. You know, they're kind of in a little bit of a rough patch, but you're still ranked number 5, and you're still pretty close to the top of your
20 games over 500.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of funny to say a team 20 games over 500 is in a rut, but but that is the case. But that just shows how good they were before that.
Right.
For sure.
Exactly.
And then ranked number 6 is the Los Angeles Lakers. And then ranked number 7 is the Los Angeles Clippers, team from LA.
Do they just automatically group them together every single time?
I mean, looking through these power rankings, it always seems that they have to be within one or two spots of each other whenever they rank them, for sure.
Yeah, it's literally a game difference between them both. That's wild.
And what's funny is in their last 10 games, the Lakers are 6-4, the Clippers are 5-5.
Yeah.
So, they're basically right there with each other, for sure. And then ranked number 8 is the Dallas Mavericks, which was the same as last week. Ranked number 9 is the Denver Nuggets, which was also the same as last week. But number 10 is the Portland Trail Blazers, who are 25-17 and are 7-3 in their last 10 games. So the Boston Celtics are now out of the top 10 because they were in the top 10 last week, and now the Blazers are in, are in top 10 now.
Okay.
And the Hornets are ranked number 20.
Yeah, I kind of figured that was coming.
I was about to say, because the Hornets did lose 3 straight games on their road trip, but they did get a win against the San Antonio Spurs last night.
Yeah, on Monday night, right?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, and that was obviously a very major win for them to have, for sure. You know, just to kind of, you know, kind of turn around this crazy road trip, mm-hmm. for sure, you know.
Because their losses were to Clippers, Lakers, and who else?
It was the Nuggets.
Nuggets were
first. And then Lakers, and then the Clippers, yes. You know, and... You know, and obviously, like I just mentioned, all three of those teams are top 10 ranked teams.
Sure.
So, you know, theoretically, it does make sense why that happened. But with that being said, the Charlotte Hornets are in for a little bit of a rough stretch going into the playoffs, yep. as superstar rookie LaMelo Ball fractured his wrist in the game against the Clippers,
uh-huh.
and is expected to be out the remainder of the season.
Yeah, dude.
And that, when I, yeah, like when
my
I...
My heart sank.
Oh, yeah, man, same here. I mean, like, once I heard that news, I mean, well, why? Because all I heard the morning after the Clippers game, I mean, obviously I didn't stay up and watch it, you know, because it's in Los Angeles. They didn't say anything about, like, a timetable. They just said he landed hard on his wrist and they would check it out. You know, so at first, yeah. I was like, okay, you know, whatever, no big deal. But then they came out that night saying that he did fracture his wrist and he's going to be out the remainder of the season. And, man, my heart dropped to the floor.
Yeah, seriously.
When I heard that happened to him. I mean, well, because obviously, I'm a little bit biased, but I just love watching LaMelo play. He's turned into a really good player. I did buy his jersey because I am a fanboy. I am a fanboy, and I did buy his jersey. But, you know, it's cool because, I mean, I'm the same age as this dude.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it's funny, you know, because we're technically in the same grad class, comes to the NBAs, we're the same age. So he's a player I'm going to be watching throughout his whole career, for
right,
sure.
Yeah.
You know, and just to hear that news about him and that unfortunate, you know, it's just very unfortunate for that to happen, for sure, because if you ask me, it was no contest that he was going to win Rookie of the Year,
right.
as of right now.
Yeah.
But obviously now that he's going to be out for the season, that's probably not going to happen now, mm-hmm. unless the voters just want to vote him in anyway.
Yeah.
But I don't see that happening, but I think now that automatically puts – Anthony Edwards is now the Rookie of the Year favorite, and I do not like that. Okay, and there's just this one thing I want to say real quick before we kind of move on to how this is going to impact the Hornets. I want to talk about that too. But I do want to say this, that one of Anthony Edwards' teammates, I'm not going to mention
this.
Oh,
I said D'Angelo Russell?
D'Angelo Russell had the audacity and the nerve, and that kind of was a little bit disrespectful, to tweet, well, I guess we know who's the favorite now for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really, dude? I'm just like, really? I'm like, really, dude? Because I guarantee you, if this happened to Anthony Edwards, you wouldn't want someone on the Hornets to say the same thing about him. So why'd you have to just be kind of a little bit disrespectful and just throw out like that?
He's being the classic troll that he's been his whole career.
Yeah, pretty
much.
You know,
he used to get his teammates in trouble with the Lakers because he would just get on Snapchat after games.
Right.
And then his, like, the teammates' girlfriends and wives would get mad at their husbands or boyfriends because of what they saw on D'Angelo Russell's Snapchat.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, this guy's just being a little internet troll like he's always been. And
I mean, like, yeah. For Russell, it's nothing new, but obviously when it kind of hits a little bit more personal than it obviously has in the past.
Oh, yeah, it was aggravating.
Like, that was obviously something that was very frustrating to see, and, you know, that was obviously a little bit disrespectful.
And he knew what he was getting into when he hit send.
Right, right, of course. I mean, like, everyone knows that that's just what he does, which makes it that much more frustrating, for sure. You know, like, so that was obviously a little bit hard to see, a little bit frustrating to watch for all those Hornets fans out there for, you know, for that to happen. So I'm sure the next time Hornets play the Timberwolves, a lot of fans will definitely want to watch that game.
Yeah, for sure. Real. Absolutely.
A lot of fans will definitely want to watch that game for sure.
Well, and selfishly, you know, well, first off, I saw where Monday he had surgery.
Yes.
And everything seemed to go well. So there's like a four-week resting period.
Yes.
And then he starts rehab.
And he starts rehab,
so,
yes.
I mean, you know, this is a shortened season, and hopefully, you know, we'll retain the guys that we need to retain for next year. You
yes.
know, there'll be some guys that'll be gone just because we can't keep everybody. Okay?
Right, of
money,
course.
Money won't allow it. But, I mean, we saw what this guy can do.
Right.
When he gets
absolutely.
His, when he
it's
gets
like,
his confidence.
That's the one thing that I did like. It's just like, okay, I mean, obviously he's hurt now, which, you know, isn't good, but you've seen what this guy can do now. I mean, so just imagine that over the course of a full season.
And even though he elevated this team, for sure, mentally and skill-wise and all that, this team is still built pretty decent, you know?
Oh, yeah,
they
absolutely.
Now they have this hurdle to get over until the playoffs come. Now, are we destined to raise the Larry O'Brien Trophy this year? No, I don't think so.
No.
We could still win a series or two, maybe, potentially.
Oh,
at least give the second round a good run for the money, you know? Because we still have Gordon Hayward. We still have Terry Rozier, who is shooting lights out.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Devontae Graham's still a solid point guard.
Oh, yeah.
Miles Bridges does great things. I mean, we saw what he did Monday night against the Spurs just to seal the deal with him and Terry on the little alley-oop. That was sick, by the way.
That was awesome.
Forgive me for not getting the Eric Collins audio for that.
Oh, yeah.
But, there's a little hum-diddly-D at the end of that.
Hum-diddly-D!
But this team still has promise, okay? The season is not over. We're not shot. We're not the Houston Rockets, okay?
Hey, which, by the way, the Houston Rockets did end their losing streak.
Well, good.
On Monday night.
I didn't,
so good for them.
I didn't know if they did, and I wasn't going to bring it up because and we'll get to it, and when it gets to March Madness, that I'm having to eat a couple slices of humble pie, according to a few of my sports takes. I didn't want to say, you know, about them having the losing streak and then the Hornets go play them and lose to them. So,
yeah.
But, you know, so we're
that's
not.
That's at least done with now.
That's over.
Yeah. But that's over with now.
Our season isn't, you know,
over yet. No.
We're not dead yet. So, you know, just it's going to be an adjustment, okay?
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, that's why you still have Malik Monk, okay?
Absolutely.
Maybe this is why you shouldn't trade him at the deadline and just let his deal expire if you're not going to, you know, re-sign him. Use him as this year.
Well, that was going to be the point I was going to bring up just to talk about for a minute is that now that he's hurt and he's going to be out for the season, that definitely affects our ability to trade.
Yes.
Because we don't have that superstar point score. I mean, we still got point scores, like I said, but now the Hornets' depth is more important than it ever has been this season. I mean, obviously, we've struggled with our fair share of injuries already, so that depth's already been shown. But now that a guy like LaMelo is out for the season, and like you said, the way he just impacted the team in general was huge, it's very hard to justify any type of major trade now.
Right.
You know, and just kind of with that knowledge in mind, I'm with you. I still think this team can make the playoffs for sure. And once we get into the playoffs, I think we have the potential to win a series, maybe two. I don't know. It depends on how how the cards fall and all that kind of stuff. You know, but this team's definitely still good to make a good playoff run.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's a downer. And getting to what I was saying earlier, selfishly, I'm bummed out. That means you won't be able to see LaMelo play.
Yeah,
you know,
same here.
That game's coming up at the end of April, you know.
Yes.
Well, we'll see right now the number two ranked team in the league, Milwaukee, playing, which would be awesome to see.
Yes,
right?
For sure.
Because the last time I saw the Bucks play, Giannis was about the size of this microphone cord, you know. He had zero muscles on him. So it'll be cool to see that team play. And it'll be cool to see where we are as a team mentally without LaMelo and see what we can do.
For sure, man. Absolutely.
All right, Cody, we've teased it all show.
Yes.
Okay. We've talked about it in What's New With You. So it's been an hour in. Okay.
Yes.
And we said we'd talk about it in 20 minutes. So sorry for lying.
Okay? Yeah.
So it was about 50 minutes in. Let's talk some March Madness as we close out today's show.
Let's do it, dude.
So I want to start out by talking March Madness by saying I was wrong about some things.
Really?
Okay. And you know, part of being a good follower of Christ is admitting your faults. Okay.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm doing. I'm admitting I was wrong. Okay.
Okay.
First thing. Very wrong about Illinois winning the national championship, okay? We'll get to that in the upsets, okay?
Yes.
But I wasn't the only one that picked Illinois. A lot of people had Illinois.
A lot of people picked Illinois.
You know, the Big Ten, they were tough on each other, and Illinois came outstanding, you know, because I was like, well, if that's the strongest conference – and that was the strongest team out of the strongest conference, it would make sense to pick them to win the Natty, you know?
Yes.
So I was wrong about that. Very wrong about that, obviously. Second thing I was wrong about was the media, me calling the Pac-12 mediocre. Okay.
That was so funny.
Like, that was right on cue.
That was literally so funny because I was thinking about that the whole time, and I'm just sitting here like, man, I can't wait to hear what he says about the Pac-12, because you talk so much junk about the Pac-12, because, which is obviously understandable, but still, I want to hear it.
But I mean, I've talked countless junk about the Pac-12, and can't lie, I'm not done. Okay, but right now I'm taking a step back. But after UCLA soundly defeated Abilene Christian, which I mean, we knew that Abilene Christian was going to run out of gas. After UCLA won to advance to the Sweet 16. The Pac-12 moved to 8-0 in the NCAA tournament.
Yes,
so,
they did.
So the Pac-12 teams that are in the tournament, they're still there.
Yes. Okay?
So USC is in, Oregon State.
Oregon and UCLA. UCLA.
So all the Pac-12 teams are in.
All of them made it.
Only one ACC team's left, and that's Syracuse.
And only one Big Ten team is left.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
In Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
In Michigan.
Which is another thing to talk about in the upsets. Well, but... You know, I talked about last week how I got in a fun little Twitter rant with this random guy. You remember?
Yes.
And so as soon as Oregon State won their first game, I get a tweet notification from that guy.
Oh, no.
So this guy's name is Palmer Hoffman, okay?
All right, Palmer.
I went ahead and gave Palmer a follow as I was looking him back up today, too. But, you know, we went back and forth about, you know, I said Pac-12 was good in the 90s, mediocre ever since. Pac-12 basketball is the Dallas Cowboys of college basketball. I still think it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But they've been on a serious run. But after Oregon State won their game on the 19th over the weekend, Palmer, he conveniently tweeted me, Oregon State, who finished 8th in the Pac-12 in the regular season, curb stomped Tennessee, who finished 1st in the SEC, like regular season.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, Palmer, I had a feeling I'd be hearing from you. So Palmer said you up, crying with laughter emoji and all that. So that was funny. So I went ahead and gave Palmer a follow and ate a little piece of humble pie and had a little giggle about it.
I understand that, yeah.
I was wrong about Illinois. I was wrong about the Pac-12. I'll be wrong about some other things, you know, because last time I checked, I got skin, blood vessels, and blood, so I'm a human being. And so I'll mess up. But... Yeah, I hadn't been that wrong in a long time, Cody.
Well, the one thing that I will say in your defense and in a lot of people's defense, nobody was right about anything that was going to happen. There were 14.7 million brackets filled out for the tournament challenge on ESPN.
Yep.
And it wasn't even through day one. Not even through the end of day one. Zero perfect brackets. After Ohio, I think it was...
Yep, it was after Ohio.
Yes. Once they beat...
UVA.
Virginia, yes. Like, once they beat Virginia, there were zero perfect brackets remaining, and there was, like, still, like, two or three games left to be played on day one.
Yeah. The Ohio University, not the Ohio State.
The Ohio University.
The Bobcats.
Yes. Which is funny, because I saw a meme that said that... You know, like that exact same thing. And that was so funny to see, like, the Ohio University, not the Ohio State, just for once. Because, let's be honest, it is kind of annoying.
Oh, it's very annoying.
Hearing people say the Ohio State University every time. But, yes. So, speaking of upsets, though, and speaking of Ohio State, Oral Roberts University, who, to be honest, I never heard of until this tournament.
Really?
I mean, well, like, I've heard of Oral Roberts, but
the man. Yeah.
Like, the man, but I just, for some reason, never made the connection.
Sure.
They beat Ohio State 75-72 in first round in overtime, knocking out a 2 seed, a 15 seed knocking out a 2 seed, which is the first time that's happened in, like, since what? Like, probably the first time that's happened in, like, a few years.
Florida Gulf Coast, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Beating Georgetown.
Beating Georgetown, yes. You know, so that was one upset. Obviously, you mentioned earlier Oregon State beating Tennessee in the first round. So that was obviously...
Whipping them.
You know, like, they won by a final score of 70-56, which that's just a massacre for that kind of matchup.
Yeah, and this really wasn't an upset, but I mean, I have to sit back and say my Tar Heels absolutely did squat.
Yeah,
in this tournament.
Yeah,
they got waxed by Wisconsin, who got waxed by Baylor. So it was really, you know, one and done.
It was just a matter of who was going to get waxed.
Exactly. But yeah, so that Carolina, that was the first time that Roy Williams has lost in the first round. Roy was 29-0, I believe, in the first round.
In the first round, yes.
Now he's 29-1.
Now he's 29-1 his career in the first round of the tournament, yes.
So now Wisconsin's the answer in a trivia game. You know,
yes.
So Roy Williams, 29-1, who's the one? Wisconsin. So, yeah.
Yes.
It kind of stings. But
yeah,
it'd be all right.
Yes, for sure. And just to name a couple more upsets in the first round, we'll get to the second round, too. North Texas
yep.
beat Purdue.
The Mean Green.
The Mean Green.
Which, do you know where they got their name from?
I do not, actually.
So, you have you ever heard of the old football player Mean Joe Green?
Yes.
Yeah, that's where they got it from. He went there.
Oh.
And so, they changed the moniker of their athletics.
Weights.
After a player.
They changed it because of Mean Joe Green?
Yes.
Really?
Because if you notice, their logo's an eagle. Their mascot on the sidelines is an eagle.
Right.
But they go by the Mean Green. And it's because of Mean Joe Green.
It's because of Mean Joe Green. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Pretty cool.
That is something I do not know. And that's also a question that's probably been on Jeopardy before.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, for sure. You know,
because you know,
that's pretty cool.
He's the Steelers player that's on that really famous Coca-Cola commercial.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think about watching that commercial right now in my brain. But yeah, for sure. That's pretty cool. You know, and then obviously talking about the ACC, you got Syracuse beating San Diego State,
yep.
which I did not think that was going
to
happen.
I did. I had a feeling because,
really?
I mean, even though I don't like to, it's hard to doubt Jim Boeheim just because of his resume.
True.
Whether they're, I mean, they did a good run a few years ago when they were like a 10 or 11 seed and did pretty well. And so I knew they'd at least get past the first round. And isn't it crazy that Buddy Boeheim is actually good? You know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you think of these guys that are these, like, legendary coaches, and they have their son on the team, and it's basically because who their dad is.
Right.
But Buddy Boeheim's
good.
He's a really good basketball player.
Oh, yeah. It is honestly kind of funny seeing that, you know, because it's, like you said, usually they're just on team just because they're on the team.
Because they're coach's kid. Yeah.
You know, they're the coach's son. You know, but seeing, like, a really good coach's son player
mm-hmm.
is...
It's just it's one of those anomalies, you know?
One was really... rare things to see. Not that they're obviously on the team, you know, but that they're like contributing a lot
yeah.
to that team.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
For sure. So that was really cool, you know. And then obviously, like you mentioned earlier too, you had Texas losing to Abilene Christian, you know, and then you have Virginia losing to Ohio. We talked about that a minute ago. And all that was just the first round.
Yeah, that was it. That was just the first round.
All that was just the first round. And then in the second round, you had Illinois losing to Loyola Chicago.
Yep.
Which is... probably the last few years has been one of the most fun tournament teams to watch.
Which you could argue that Loyola Chicago should be higher than the 8 seed.
Yes.
And that Illinois got absolutely bamboozled by having to beat the 1 seed in this bracket where Loyola's 8 seed, you know?
Yeah.
So that was a little you know, because...
Yeah, that's obviously a little bit but just to see a team like Loyola Chicago, because it doesn't matter where they're seed. I mean, like... they're one of those teams, kind of like you mentioned with Wichita State, most of the time, you know what? They're one of those teams that if they can get into a national tournament, they're going to do...
Watch out.
You know, just watch out because they're going to do something.
Right.
You know, so like, you know, and obviously now they're in the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool for sure.
And Sister Jean's there watching them.
Yes, for sure. Sister
she's
Jean's
what,
there.
102? Or she is 100, at least 101.
She's pretty old for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, she is obviously definitely really old. I can't remember her exact age, but I think it is something like 102, yeah. 101, something like that for sure. And then obviously you had Syracuse again beating West Virginia, who was a 3 seed. That was obviously very big. And then you had Oral Roberts beating Florida.
Yep.
Which, obviously after that first round upset against Ohio State, I'm like, okay, I want Oral Roberts to win this game, but I honestly did not think they would.
Well, it's kind of like the Abilene Christian thing. Like, they beat Texas, you know?
Right.
And then they just got destroyed by UCLA.
And then it's got demolished. Like, because usually what happens is that when a low seed beats a high seed in the first round, you know, like when there's an upset, they usually just get waxed and destroyed the next round.
Yeah.
I mean, like, take UMBC beating Virginia, the 16-1. I mean, that's the first time it's ever happened, and then they got destroyed in their next game.
And we don't even know who they lost to. We just remember them beating Virginia, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's all that happened, because I can't even remember who they lost to in that.
Exactly.
After that, you know, but, you know, it's just, that usually happens. But Oral Roberts has proven that, hey, we're here, and we're here to stay, as they're also in the Sweet 16, and I'll definitely be keeping a close eye on them as they're continuing. Basically, the two main teams I'm going to be keeping an eye on is Loyola Chicago and Oral Roberts. Those are the two teams I want to watch and as we go throughout the Sweet 16 and beyond. And then you had Oregon beating Iowa.
Yep.
And I think I mentioned this last week. I picked Iowa to be in the national championship game against Baylor. That was my pick.
Which is a fair pick, too.
Was Iowa versus Baylor in the national championship game. Obviously, Baylor's still up for grabs because they haven't lost yet.
Yep.
But I was surprised to see Iowa go down in the second round. I really was. I mean, like... not to say anything bad against Oregon, because Oregon's got a really good basketball program too, but I just figured, you know, it's Iowa.
Right.
You know, like, they're obviously a really good program, so I figured they would advance. But guess what? They didn't, because this whole March Madness thing has just been one of the craziest.
Absolute madness.
It has been, yes. It has been absolute madness so far. It's been one of the craziest March Madnesses I've ever seen. And then to finish it off, you had USC beating Kansas at the very end of round two, and Kansas is out. So I'm pretty sure I saw a tweet saying that this is the first time since like 1979 or something that UNC, Kentucky, Duke, and Kansas are not in the Sweet 16.
Isn't that wild to think about?
I mean, like, at least one of them is not in the Sweet 16 for the first time since like 1979 or something like that, mm-hmm. which is just insane to think about. It's been almost 45 years that that's happened. So.
Yeah, it's been wild. And, you know, you talk about those upsets, and it's really set up for a really, really crazy weekend coming up again.
Oh, you know?
Because I think it's, like I said, we're having withdrawals, not having games to watch tonight or tomorrow or, you know, for the rest of the week until the weekend.
Yes.
But it's been good to have a, you know, let's take a breath because of how crazy it was.
It was
pretty
crazy.
I mean, just think, look at these Sweet 16 matchups we got. We got Gonzaga and Creighton. That's going to be a really solid game.
That's going to be a good matchup.
I mean, Creighton, you know, took care of Ohio. Gonzaga took care of the Sooners. But then we got a conference battle. We got USC, the Trojans, going up against Oregon, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
and that's a 6-7 on top of it being conference versus the same conference.
Right.
You know?
That'd be very fun to see.
That's going
to
be fun. And then we got a one seed, Michigan, going up against Florida State.
Yeah.
Florida State had a pretty tough game against Colorado there for a little while. They ended up running away with it at the end.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's going to be a really good test for both teams for having there for a little while pretty difficult second round matchups, because Michigan had their hands full with LSU for a good while of that game.
Yes, for sure. Well, like, I was watching that game, Michigan and LSU, and I'm thinking, man, that this would be insane if we have 2-1 seeds knocked out before the Sweet 16 even starts.
I kept thinking that as well.
That would be insane.
And then we got UCLA, who had to get into the tournament in the first four.
Right.
Now they're in the Sweet 16 going up against Alabama, who just demolished Maryland last night.
Oh, man.
I mean, Maryland was kind of here and there for a little while, but then when Alabama turned it on at the end, dude, man, they did not let off the gas.
No, not
even
close.
I am thoroughly impressed with the style of play that Alabama plays basketball.
Yes.
It's really fun to watch. Plus, it's really fun to cheer for the Crimson Tide in basketball, you know. Nate Oates Nate Oates is a really fun coach to watch too.
Yes,
you know, he's very
sure.
animated. He gets really into it on the sideline, and you know that's a team I think I'm gonna cheer for the rest of the. I hope
I'm not putting
a curse on them or anything.
Yeah, I was about to say, oh no.
That's a team I think I'm gonna cheer for and for the rest of the tournament for sure. Plus, my buddy Luke Ratliff, who he was a couple years behind me in high school back in Wadesboro. He's actually out at early college. He goes to University of Alabama.
Oh, really?
And he was at the games in Indianapolis this past weekend.
Oh, that's cool.
And he was at the game last night. And guess where he had to be today? In Tuscaloosa.
Oh, wow.
So, in case you didn't know, Indianapolis to Tuscaloosa is like 7.5-8 hours.
Oh.
And he was at the game last night in Indianapolis. And, yeah, so he drove from Indianapolis to Tuscaloosa from starting last night, got there this morning. So props to him for that. And he'll probably go back to Indianapolis this weekend.
Probably.
You know, he's very devoted. He's like the leader of their basketball fans. Like it's really
Oh, really?
Cool. Yeah, it's really cool
to see. I mean, he's like the head of the basketball fandom
there. I guess if somebody's the head of it, I would say he is for sure. And then on the other side of the bracket, we got Baylor going up against Villanova.
I mean, which here's the thing. Say what you will about Villanova, but hey, they're in the Sweet 16. And obviously with the way this tournament's gone, you never know.
Well, and now they're playing with a chip on their shoulder because nobody thought they'd get out of the first round. Almost everybody thought Winthrop would win that game.
Yeah.
They really did. And then, you know, they caught a break really – facing North Texas in the second round, which and then so they're in the Sweet 16. They got a really tough opponent in Baylor now because
very tough.
Wisconsin against Baylor did not look like Wisconsin against North Carolina at all. They completely shut them down. Where against
close.
North Carolina, Wisconsin could not miss at all.
Yeah,
just about. And then we got Oral Roberts going up against the Razorbacks of Arkansas.
Arkansas.
I'll tell you what, that Arkansas-Texas Tech game was down to the very end, too.
I mean, like, that was one of my favorite non-upset games to watch was that one. You know, just because that one was tooth and nail tight all the way through. That was really cool to see.
I don't know his name, but the coach for Texas Tech, I think he really is beating himself up for not calling a timeout there at the end, because he had a timeout, you know, and maybe he just wanted to go with the momentum of the game because it was so back and forth. But like even we were watching the other day, and Amber, who, you know, coached the middle school girls at Piedmont, she was like, man, I would have called timeout just to get my guys together, you know,
right,
just to think of something. Even if that don't work, at least you took the time to figure it out.
I mean, it's like, at least you took the time to figure something out.
Yeah, but who knows? It would have went the same either way, maybe. And then we got Loyola Chicago going up against Oregon State.
Yes.
Okay, so the perfect record of the Pac-12 will be on the line right there.
Yeah.
Which is, it'll be on the line against USC and Oregon too, really, because they're kind of they're facing their own poison in that.
One of them's got to lose.
Exactly. Exactly. And it'd be fun to see Loyola Chicago keep going, just because I forget his name, the center dude with the mustache.
Krutwig or something like that?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the guy that you got to cheer for him, because
he's
good, he's not bad, and he's out there just in the way, beating people up.
He's just there.
Physical.
He's very physical center, which is just really cool to see a physical center just kind of being in the way, getting in there. Plus, too, just seeing him get animated and excited, it's just really fun to watch.
Oh, it's super fun to watch.
Fun to watch him play.
And then Syracuse going up against Houston, which that might be the most vanilla game of this Sweet 16 matchup, because Houston, they're good.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, but they're not like a standout team to watch.
Well, you know? Plus, too, they just about lost their last game.
Right, to Rutgers.
Yes.
Yeah, which was kind of a downer, cause Rutgers, that's their first time in like forever.
And trust me, with all the upsets, I was definitely pulling for Rutgers to beat them.
Sure.
And I honestly thought they would for a pretty good while in that game, and then there at the end, Houston just kind of pulled away.
Oh, by the time Oral Roberts won the first round, I just went ahead through my bracket and trash.
Oh, yeah, same
I was
here.
Like, you know, forget this. I'm cheering for every underdog. Let's just go. I'm having fun now.
Well,
you know?
Well, to be honest, that's basically the same thing happened with me. Like, once Oral Roberts beat Ohio State, I'm like, okay, I'm just throwing it out of my bracket. I don't even care if I win or do anything like that. I mean, really, I just do a bracket, you know, just for fun, obviously, you know, but like you said, once that happened, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to pull for every underdog team that I want to and just see, like you said, the madness occur.
Yep.
And a lot of it did.
Yeah. And, you know, it was really depressing last year when we got no tournament. You know, when all the conference tournaments got canceled early and all that, Duke still didn't make last year's tournament either. Just saying that, because they pulled out before they canceled it. So they're, you know, Duke's missed two tournaments in a row. Just saying, but I think this tournament has more than made up for not having one last year.
Absolutely.
Even if they're not upsets, the games that are going on,
they're good.
Just wire to wire.
Oh, yeah.
Minus a couple of them, they're just absolute blowouts, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, the environment that they're in, having fans at those games, it's been awesome.
It's been great to see that.
Playing those games where Hoosiers was filmed at the end. That's such a cool place to play.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And seeing the giant bright rays of sunshine gleaming onto the court when they're playing those games in the middle of the day in that old field house.
Yeah.
It's really cool to see, too. So, man, it's been really fun. It's, like I said, made up for not having one last year.
Absolutely.
And next year's Aries has has big shoes to fill for 2022. And we're not even in the Final Four yet.
We're just now getting into the Sweet 16. And obviously, we will recap that next week. I am definitely looking forward to seeing how the rest of this tournament goes, dude. Like, wouldn't it be funny or just crazy to see, like, a, you know, like one of those lower seeds, like a team like Loyola or even like a team like Oral Roberts somehow win this whole thing? I mean, that would just, like, be the icing on the cake if one of these lower-seeded teams in the Sweet 16 ends up winning the title.
Well, I just think there's a chance of the Final Four being Creighton, UCLA, who is an 11 seed, Oral Roberts, and Loyola Chicago.
That'd be the craziest Final Four in history.
That'd be absolutely wild.
You
know? Now, I'm hoping Alabama gets past UCLA for sure.
Yeah.
But, like, think about, like, Alabama versus Oral Roberts national championship. That's just and it's crazy to see Alabama in that setting.
Yeah.
Let alone Oral Roberts.
Oral Roberts, you know? In there, yeah.
So it'd just be just absolute madness all the way to the bitter end. So yeah, it's crazy, man.
I am looking forward to seeing how it goes, dude, for sure.
Yeah, well, I know that was a very, very long show,
yes.
And I know it'll still be long after Cody cuts it up a little bit. So if you got to listen to it in segments, just like we talk about in segments, you know, take your time. You got a whole week to listen to it, things like that.
Oh, yeah.
We'll put timestamps.
There are timestamps below.
That's right. So if you're saying, I'm just here for March Madness, well, Cody will show you right where it is.
Yeah.
Or I'm just here for the Devo. Well, you know exactly where it is. Or I'm just here for the end. Well, sorry. We'll just scoot on to the end or whatever floats your boat. But, you know, the timestamps are there. Keep up with us on social media. We try to get on there when we can. It's kind of hard when I'm working full-time job.
Yeah.
Times three, because I count being a parent full-time job,
oh,
too.
Yeah.
And you with school. But as we close out, here's our minor league baseball team of the week. I almost forgot to do it, Cody, because we got so far into it.
Oh, it's all right.
But this week's minor league baseball team of the week is the El Paso Chihuahuas.
The El Paso Chihuahuas.
Yeah, the Chihuahuas are a minor league baseball team of the AAA West and the AAA affiliate of the San Diego Padres.
Yeah.
And if you wonder what the logo is like, just think of the Taco Bell dog, and that's what you got.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's kind of showing my age, and you might remember the Taco Bell dogs
vaguely. I can vaguely think of the Taco Bell dog, but not very much.
And their mascot's name's Chico. So
nice.
There you go, Chico the Chihuahua. They play at Southwest University Park. Their owners is a company called Mountain Star Sports. General manager Brad Taylor, and their colors are black, red, tan, and white. So they're the Padres affiliate, but they got Diamondbacks colors.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah, pretty much.
But that's our show. Thank you all so much for listening. If you made it all the way through from front to back and start to finish, you must work outside like I do and just have nothing else to do for
you
an hour and
guys
a half.
Are the real MVPs.
That's right.
To sit here and listen to us for an hour and a half almost.
So thank you all for listening. Enjoy this weekend full of Sweet 16 matchups and, wow, and Elite Eight, too. I just saw that because Elite Eight is March 29th through the 30th. So you got plenty of basketball to watch this weekend as well. And, oh, how could I forget? Watch the Bristol Dirt Race this Sunday as well. So y'all have a good weekend. We'll see you next week. Bye.